Chapter 9. The sun was up so high when I waked that I judged it was after 8 o'clock. I laid there in the grass and the cool shade thinking about things and feeling rested and rather comfortable and satisfied. I could see the sun out at one or two holes, but mostly it was big trees all about and gloomy in there amongst them. There was freckled places on the ground where the light sifted down through the leaves, and the freckled places swapped about a little, showing there was a little breeze up there. A couple of squirrels sat on a limb and jabbered at me very friendly. I was powerful lazy and comfortable, didn't want to get up and cook breakfast. Well, I was dozing off again when I thinks I hears a deep sound of oom away up the river. I rouses up and rests on my elbow and listens. Pretty soon I hears it again. I hopped up and went and looked out at a hole in the leaves, and I see a bunch of smoke laying on the water a long ways up about abreast the ferry. And there was the ferry boat full of people floating along down. I knowed what was the matter now. Oom. I see the white smoke squirt out of the ferry boat's side. You see, they was firing cannon over the water, trying to make my carcass come to the top. I was pretty hungry, but it weren't going to do for me to start a fire, because they might see the smoke. So I sat there and watched the cannon dash smoke and listened to the boom. The river was a mile wide there, and it always looks pretty on a summer morning, so I was having a good enough time seeing them hunt for my remainders, if I only had a bite to eat. Well, then I happened to think how they always put quicksilver in loaves of bread and float them off, because they always go right to the drowned carcass and stop there. So, says I, I'll keep a lookout, and if any of them's floating around after me, I'll give them a show. I changed to the Illinois edge of the island to see what luck I could have, and I weren't disappointed. A big double loaf come along, and I most got it with a long stick, but my foot slipped, and she floated out further. Of course I was where the current set in, the closest to the shore I knowed enough for that. But by and by along comes another one, and this time I won. I took out the plug, and shook out the little dab of quicksilver, and set my teeth in. It was acres bread what the quality eat, none of your low-down corn pone. I got a good place amongst the leaves, and sat there on a log, munching the bread and watching the ferry boat, and very well satisfied. And then something struck me. I says, now I reckon the widow or the parson or somebody prayed that this bread would find me, and here it has gone and done it. So there ain't no doubt, but there is something in that thing, that is, there's something in it, when a body like the widow or the parson prays, but it don't work for me, and I reckon it don't work for only just the right kind. I lit a pipe, and had a good long smoke, and went on watching. The ferry boat was floating with the current, and I allowed I'd have a chance to see who was aboard when she come along, because she would come in close, where the bread did. When she'd got pretty well along down towards me, I put out my pipe, and went to where I fished out the bread, and laid down behind a log on the bank in a little open place, where the log forked I could peep through. By and by she come along, and she drifted in so close that they could run out a plank and walked ashore. Most everybody was on the boat. Pap, and Judge Thatcher, and Bessie Thatcher, and Joe Harper, and Tom Sawyer, and his old Aunt Polly, and Sid and Mary, and plenty more. Everybody was talking about the murder, but the captain broke in and says, "Look sharp now. The current sets in the closest here, and maybe he's washed ashore and got tangled amongst the brush at the water's edge. I hope so, anyway." I didn't hope so. They all crowded up and leaned over the rails, nearly in my face, and kept still, watching with all their might. I could see them first rate, but they couldn't see me. Then the captain sung out, "Stand away!" And the cannon let off such a blast right before me that it made me deaf with the noise, and pretty near blind with the smoke, and I judged I was gone. If they'd a had some bullets in, I reckon they'd a got the corpse they was after. Well, I see I weren't hurt, thanks to goodness. The boat floated on and went out of sight around the shoulder of the island. I could hear the booming now and then, further and further off, and by, after an hour, I didn't hear it no more. The island was 3 miles long. I judged they had got to the foot and was giving it up. But they didn't yet a while. They turned around the foot of the island and started up the channel on the Miss Sourey side, under steam, and booming once in a while as they went. I crossed over to that side and watched them. When they got abreast the head of the island, they quit shooting and dropped over to the Miss Sourey shore and went home to the town. I knowed I was all right now. Nobody else would come hunting after me. I got my traps out of the canoe and made me a nice camp in the thick woods. I made a kind of a tent out of my blankets to put my things under so the rain couldn't get at them. I catched a catfish and haggled him open with my saw, and towards sundown I started my campfire and had supper. Then I set out a line to catch some fish for breakfast. When it was dark I sat by my campfire smoking and feeling pretty well satisfied. But by and by it got sort of lonesome, and so I went and sat on the bank and listened to the current swashing along and counted the stars and drift logs and rafts that come down, and then went to bed. There ain't no better way to put in time when you are lonesome. You can't stay so, you soon get over it. And so for 3 days and nights. No difference, just the same thing. But the next day I went exploring around down through the island. I was boss of it. It all belonged to me, so to say, and I wanted to know all about it. But mainly I wanted to put in the time. I found plenty strawberries, ripe and prime, and green summer grapes, and green raspberries, and the green blackberries was just beginning to show. They would all come handy by and by, I judged. Well, I went fooling along in the deep woods till I judged I weren't far from the foot of the island. I had my gun along, but I hadn't shot nothing. It was for protection. Thought I would kill some game nigh home. About this time I mighty near stepped on a good-sized snake, and it went sliding off through the grass and flowers, and I after it, trying to get a shot at it. I clipped along, and all of a sudden I bounded right onto the ashes of a campfire that was still smoking. My heart jumped up amongst my lungs. I never waited for to look further, but uncocked my gun, and went sneaking back on my tiptoes as fast as ever I could. Every now and then I stopped a second amongst the thick leaves and listened, but my breath come so hard I couldn't hear nothing else. I slunk along another piece further, then listened again, and so on, and so on. If I see a stump, I took it for a man. If I trod on a stick and broke it, it made me feel like a person had cut one of my breaths in two and I only got half, and the short half too. When I got to camp I weren't feeling very brash, there weren't much sand in my craw, but I says, this ain't no time to be fooling around. So I got all my traps into my canoe again so as to have them out of sight, and I put out the fire and scattered the ashes around to look like an old last year's camp, and then clumb a tree. I reckon I was up in the tree 2 hours, but I didn't see nothing, I didn't hear nothing, I only thought I heard and seen as much as 1,000 things. Well, I couldn't stay up there forever. So at last I got down, but I kept in the thick woods, and on the lookout all the time. All I could get to eat was berries and what was left over from breakfast. By the time it was night I was pretty hungry. So when it was good and dark I slid out from shore before moonrise, and paddled over to the Illinois bank about a quarter of a mile. I went out in the woods and cooked a supper, and I had about made up my mind I would stay there all night, when I hear a plunkety plunk, plunkety plunk, and says to myself, horses coming, and next I hear people's voices. I got everything into the canoe as quick as I could, and then went creeping through the woods to see what I could find out. I hadn't got far when I hear a man say, we better camp here, if we can find a good place. The horses is about beat out. Let's look around. I didn't wait, but shoved out and paddled away easy. I tied up in the old place, and reckoned I would sleep in the canoe. I didn't sleep much. I couldn't, somehow, for thinking. And every time I waked up I thought somebody had me by the neck. So the sleep didn't do me no good. By and by I says to myself, I can't live this way. I may go in to find out who it is that's here on the island with me. I'll find it out or bust. Well, I felt better right off. So I took my paddle and slid out from shore just a step or two, and then let the canoe drop along down amongst the shadows. The moon was shining, and outside of the shadows it made it most as light as day. I poked along well on to an hour, everything still as rocks and sound asleep. Well, by this time I was most down to the foot of the island. A little ripply, cool breeze begun to blow, and that was as good as saying the night was about done. I give her a turn with the paddle, and brung her nose to shore. Then I got my gun and slipped out, and into the edge of the woods. I sat down there on a log, and looked out through the leaves. I see the moon go off watch, and the darkness begin to blanket the river. But in a little while I see a pale streak over the treetops, and note the day was coming. So I took my gun and slipped off towards where I had run across that campfire, stopping every minute or two to listen. But I hadn't no luck somehow, I couldn't seem to find the place. But by and by, sure enough, I catched a glimpse of fire away through the trees. I went for it, cautious and slow. By and by I was close enough to have a look, and there laid a man on the ground. It most give me the fantods. He had a blanket around his head, and his head was nearly in the fire. I sat there behind a clump of bushes in about 6 foot of him, and kept my eyes on him steady. It was getting gray daylight now. Pretty soon he gapped and stretched himself and hove off the blanket, and it was Miss Watson's Jim. I bet I was glad to see him. I says, "Hello, Jim," and skipped out. He bounced up and stared at me wild. Then he drops down on his knees, and puts his hands together and says, "Don't hurt me, don't. I ain't ever done no harm to a ghost. I always liked dead people, and done all I could for 'em. You go and get in the river a gin, why you blongs, and don't do nothing to ole Jim, at us all as yo friend." Well, I weren't long making him understand I weren't dead. I was ever so glad to see Jim. I weren't lonesome now. I told him I weren't afraid of him telling the people where I was. I talked along, but he only sat there and looked at me, never said nothing. Then I says, "It's good daylight. Let's get breakfast. Make up your campfire good. What's the user making up the campfire to cook strawberries and sich truck? But you got a gun, ain't you? Then we can get something better than strawberries. Strawberries and such truck," I says. "Is that what you live on?" "I couldn't get nothing else," he says. "Why, how long you been on the island, Jim?" "I come here the night arter you's killed." "What, all that time?" "Yes, indeedy." "And ain't you had nothing but that kind of rubbish to eat?" "No, saw nothing else." "Well, you must be most starved, ain't you?" "I reckon I could eat a hoss." "I think I could." "How long you been on the island?" "Since the night I got killed." "No." "Why, what has you lived on?" "But you got a gun." "Oh, yes, you got a gun. That's good. Now you kill something and I'll make up the fire." So we went over to where the canoe was, and while he built a fire in a grassy open place amongst the trees, I fetched meal and bacon and coffee, and coffee pot and frying pan, and sugar and tin cups, and the nigger was set back considerable, because he reckoned it was all done with witchcraft. I catched a good big catfish too, and Jim cleaned him with his knife, and fried him. When breakfast was ready we lolled on the grass, and eat it smoking hot. Jim laid it in with all his might, for he was most about starved. Then when we had got pretty well stuffed, we laid off and lazied. By and by Jim says, "But looky here, Huck, who was it that us killed in that shanty if it weren't you?" Then I told him the whole thing, and he said it was smart. He said Tom Sawyer couldn't get up no better plan than what I had. Then I says, "How do you come to be here, Jim, and how do you get here?" He looked pretty uneasy and didn't say nothing for a minute. Then he says, "Maybe I better not tell." "Why, Jim?" "Well, day's reasons. But you won't tell on me if I was to tell you, would you, Huck?" "Blamed if I would, Jim." "Well, I believe you, Huck." I run off. "Jim. But mind, you said you won't tell, you know you said you won't tell, Huck." "Well, I did. I said I wouldn't, and I'll stick to it. Honest Injun, I will. People would call me a low-down abolitionist, and despise me for keeping mum, but that don't make no difference. I ain't a-going to tell, and I ain't a-going back there, anyways. So, now, let's know all about it." "Well, you see, it us this way. Ole Miss Sus, that's Miss Watson, she pecks on me all the time, and treats me pooty rough, but she always said she won't sell me down to Orleans. But I noticed they was a nigger trade around the place considerable lately, and I begin to get honesty. Well, one night I creeps to the do pooty late, and the do weren't quite shut, and I hear old Miss Sus tell the widder she gwine to sell me down to Orleans, but she didn't want to, but she could get $800 for me, and it was such a big stack o' money she called me recesses. The widder she tried to get her to say she won't do it, but I never waited to hear the reses. I lit out mighty quick, I tell you. I tuck out and shin down the hill, and spec to steal a skiff along the show somers bove the town, but they was people a-stirring it, so I hid in the lay tumble down Cooper's shop on the bank, to wait for everybody to go away. Well, I was da all night. They was somebody around all the time. Long bout 6 in the morning skiffs begin to go by, and bout 8 or 9 every skiff that went long was talking bout how yo pap come over to the town and say you's killed. These losses skiffs was full o' ladies and gentlemen a-going over for to see the place. Sometimes they'd pull up at the show and take a resist before they started a-crost, so by the talk I got to know all bout the killing. I us powerful sorry you's killed, Huck, but I ain't no mo' now. I laid da under the shavins all day. I was hungry, but I warn't afeard. Because I know the lay Miss Sus and the widder was goin' to start to the camp meetin' right arter breakfast and be gone all day, and they knows I goes off with the cattle bout daylight, so they won't spec to see me round the place, and so they won't miss me till arter dark in the evenin'. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.